Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered. With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know.
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And we are back. Welcome back to 670 The Score. Welcome back to Early Odds. I am your host, Jake Hassan, here once again on this fine Saturday morning. Happy to be here with everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. And a lot to go over today. It's just going to be me, just your boy, Solo Dolo, Hassan Solo today. But honestly, a ton to talk about, a ton to get into today. Going to be pretty heavy NFL today. Going to give some thoughts, too, on NBA Most Valuable Player after we've seen a ton of movement in that market. Luka Doncic's wrist injury being the biggest key factor so far in that. I don't know, maybe Jokic just wins another MVP and it's just going to be him because he's the best player in the world. Who knows? But we'll talk about that a little bit at the end. Obviously, going to give you some college football thoughts. I do have a bet in the Indiana and Ohio State game because, you know, it's kind of the biggest game, arguably, of the week of all in the entire football world. But a lot of NFL today. Going to hit on the awards, going to hit on just about every game, going to hit on some of the divisions as well after what we saw on Thursday night with the Cleveland Browns beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. Should we take a gander maybe at the Steelers to miss the playoffs at a huge price? Something that I think we should look at. But I want to start with the Philadelphia Eagles today. And just as a whole, I think there's a lot of interesting angles to look at with this team. And I want to start with MVP, because you look at the MVP race right now, and we talked about this with Sam Panayotovich a couple weeks ago, and he was saying, you know, that it's just you're flipping over and over, and it's Josh Allen, then it's Lamar Jackson, and then it's Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, his odds have fallen because, you know, the Chiefs take their first loss against the Bills, and now they're probably not going to go undefeated, so he probably doesn't win MVP with these very pedestrian numbers that the Chiefs have been putting up, or that he's been putting up, and the Chiefs don't go undefeated. Andy Reid probably doesn't win Coach of the Year, which we'll get to. But like I said, I want to talk about the Eagles because I think that, yeah, obviously it's a quarterback-driven award, and we haven't seen a non-quarterback win this award since 2012 when Adrian Peterson won it. And I get that the quarterbacks get all of the credit, and Jalen Hurts is awesome. And at 17-1, I do think that there's some hashtag value on him because he's having a great year. The touchdowns are there through the air and on the ground, obviously. But Everybody's so happy for Saquon Barkley. And he's the favorite for offensive player of the year. But he's so good. And now we're getting the reverse hurdle. I guess, should we call it a reverse hurdle? Because that implies that it's not a hurdle. Because the reverse of a hurdle would be not hurtling, right? The backwards hurdle, I guess we'll call it that. It's in Madden now. Like, I saw a tweet about that the other day. And so Saquon Barkley, like, everybody's like, he got away from the Giants. He's finally able to enjoy a good football team. And maybe he is the reason that the Eagles are playing as well as they are. They maybe get over the hump and win a Super Bowl. Maybe now he was the missing piece, perhaps. They had the quarterback. They had the coach. Now the defense is playing really well, too. But Saquon Barkley, at 65-1, I think is the best price out there, if I'm not mistaken. But at a huge price for MVP, Saquon Barkley is just week after week after week, he's in the news and he's in, like, he had two touchdown game against the Commanders on a primetime game and a standalone game. And so I think that Saquon Barkley, maybe we should start talking about this a little bit more. Maybe these odds should start to compress a little bit. Because listen, you look at the guys in front of him, like, who's, like, should these odds really be what they are? Sam Darnold, never happening. Jordan Love throws too many interceptions. Not saying that he can't win in the future, but Jordan Love right now, as is, probably not a candidate to win. C.J. Stroud, terrible right now, is not playing well. Joe Burrow, yeah, MVP numbers, but on a terrible team. Not going to win. Jaden Daniels, the shine has come off him for sure right now. We'll talk about Rookie of the Year in a second, but Jaden Daniels might, you know, get the race getting closer for Offensive Rookie of the Year. So how can he possibly win MVP? Kyler Murray, interesting. And I think that the Cardinals are very interesting. And I think the Cardinals for the NFC West is a conversation that we'll have today for sure. But Kyler Murray, when you just look at how he stacks up against everybody else, he's 20th in passing yards. He's 16th in passing touchdowns. And yes, I know he adds the added aspect on the ground with his rushing, but some ground, a lot of ground, honestly, to make up for Kyler Murray. But okay, we'll put him in the bucket for can win, at least, of the guys in front of Saquon Barkley. And then Justin Herbert, again, interesting, but who gets the credit there if the Chargers win the division or make the playoffs? Like, Jim Harbaugh probably gets the credit there, right? And, you know, you look at Justin Herbert when and how he stacks up with these guys. I mean, he's even further. He's 17th in passing yards as among quarterbacks, obviously, because, you know, quarterbacks are the ones throwing the ball. That's how that works. There's another bit. And he's 12th in touchdowns, so ground for him to make up. But I guess I would hear the argument. We could put him theoretically in the bucket. Then there's Jalen Hurts, who we just talked about. Patrick Mahomes, probably not going to win unless he goes on some kind of tear. Jared Goff, not going to win. Lions are awesome. He doesn't get the credit for that. Dan Campbell's getting the credit. All the position players are getting credit. Jared Goff's not getting the credit there. And then Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. So of the guys ahead of Saquon Barkley, you're talking about what? Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray. Five guys. Like, the five guys. Like, so if Saquon Barkley's sixth or seventh of the people that we think can win, like, should he be 65, 70, 75 to one? And, you know, in the what, fourth row, fifth row, one, two, three, four, five, fifth row of these guys? Like, that just doesn't seem right. So, not saying that he has to win. Not saying that he even has to finish ahead of Jalen Hurts. But if you're looking for a bomb, if you're looking for a hashtag value, I think that Saquon is really, really interesting at a huge price for MVP. And if you think about it this way, this is a narrative, hashtag do. You know, it's been over a decade since we had a non-quarterback win this award. Maybe we see the voters get a little tired. You know, it's just something that I think we can think about. So just some thoughts there. For MVP. And like I said, Jalen Hurts is awesome. It is a quarterback-driven award. If I had to pick an Eagle that had to win, yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be Jalen Hurts. He probably gets the credits quarterback award. But just price and talking about hashtag value, think that Saquon Barkley is interesting. And he has the narrative on his side of people being happy for him that he's away from the New York Giants. And that dumpster fire, we'll talk about that because they made a quarterback change. If you hadn't heard, if you've been in a coma or under a rock or elsewise distracted from NFL news, we'll talk about that game with the Giants in a second. But another award that I want to talk about because I did mention it briefly. Offensive rookie of the year, Jaden Daniels was lighting the world on fire. And he was unbelievable. And he comes out to a huge minus price, races out there. He's in the MVP conversation for a couple of weeks. And now it just hasn't been as good lately. Over the last couple of weeks, he's been more mediocre. And we've had some, you know, rumors of, is he injured? Is he not injured? Or the rib injury? And now there was a hand injury. And, oh, but he's playing through it. And, okay, so if he's healthy enough to play, is he healthy? And against the Eagles last Thursday, under 200 passing yards, another interception, not a great game on the ground. I mean, he hasn't surpassed 50 rushing yards in 3 weeks. The last time he did it was against the Bears, and that was only 52 yards. And he hasn't had a rushing touchdown since September. So I think Jaden Daniels, it's starting to compress a little bit. And the last couple of games just have, like, he squeaked by, squeaked over 200 passing yards in the games against Pittsburgh and the Giants. You know, he's not lighting it up anymore. He's really, really good, and the Commanders are good. But I think then you look at, it's just, I don't think he's a minus 500 favorite, and he should be the favorite, but I think that should be a little bit closer than it is. And now you're probably in your car or wherever you are listening to this, like, all right, dude, just tell us who the hell is supposed to win this award then. And I'm not saying that it's somebody super far down the board. I'm not saying that it's Caleb Williams, but I think that the first likeliest candidate is the second guy in the odds, Bo Nix. His last game, what did we just see? 4 touchdowns through the air, no interceptions. He throws for over 300 yards against the Falcons. Granted, that was at home, but still, I mean, he had a good game against the Chiefs too. And even though the Chiefs, you know, won that game barely, I mean, he almost beats Patrick Mahomes at Arrowhead, throws for 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions in that game as well. You know, week before that against Baltimore in Baltimore, not great, had an interception, no touchdowns. But then again, this was against Carolina. Before that, 284 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. So I think Bo Nix, for all the flack we give him, and I know everybody's ragging on him, oh, he's a grown man, he was in college for 10 years. Listen, I'll be the first person to make those jokes. I love those jokes. They're hilarious. But I think it is compressing a little bit. I keep saying compressing. I got to stop that. I'm saying that way too much for this. But it's starting to get closer. This race is starting to get a lot closer. And I don't think Jaden Daniels is this huge, massive favorite as much as he was, you know, even 3-4 weeks ago, even a month ago. So I think that Bo Nix, obviously, Offensive Rookie of the Year, another quarterback-driven award. But I think that Bo Nix, we're really seeing him start to have that peak that Jaden Daniels had early in the season. And that's what happens with rookie quarterbacks, obviously. It's peaks and valleys. But we're seeing the peak of Bo Nix right now. And you look at the Denver Broncos schedule, and it's the Raiders this week in Las Vegas, but still the Raiders. Then you have the Browns in Denver, and then you have the Colts in Denver, and then the Chargers and the Bengals too. And then you close at home against the Chiefs. I think that Bo Nix, this is setting up pretty nicely. Not to say that Jaden Daniels has some insane schedule. Like, his schedule is pretty decent as well. He gets the Cowboys at home this week, then the Titans, who actually are a good defense, so that might be a little tougher. Then you go to New Orleans, tough place to play. I mean, say what you will about the Saints, but it's still in New Orleans. Then the Eagles, who are awesome defensively. Then, but though, he gets Falcons, Cowboys, and, you know, that's a nice little end of the schedule for Jaden Daniels. So I think this is going to be pretty close. And I'm just saying that I think the price is maybe shouldn't be Jaden Daniels as big of a favorite as he is. And I think, you know, Jaden, there's a good chance they both have good games this week. So not that you have to run and go jam Bo Nix right now. You shouldn't be anyway. But I'm just saying maybe you give it, and we'll talk about this again next week, assuming they both have good games this week. Let's just say that. But then, Jaden Daniels gets a Titans defense that's pretty good. Maybe then we'll revisit this after that game. And let's just talk about Brock Bowers for a second, because he's interesting and he's further down the board. His price is 18, 20 to 1 floating around in that range. And this is a very quarterback driven award. But, you know, Brock Bowers just had 13 catches in a game against the Dolphins. That's really, really good. And he's catching a ton of balls, and the yardage stats aren't huge, but he's popping up in the score sheet. He's catching touchdowns. He's got 3 so far, back-to-back weeks with touchdown. Just had 126 yards, like I mentioned. So he's very involved in this Raiders offense. The quarterbacks aren't great. Maybe Maybe the Raiders get Daniel Jones. Who knows? But I'm just saying Brock Bowers is interesting. If he continues to score and he continues to find the end zone, I think Brock Bowers could be live. But if I had to make a pick right now, Bo Nix, I mean, his price is still most likely to change because he's experiencing the pop right now. You know, he's having the moment, and Jaden Daniels is kind of coming back down to earth a little bit more. So I think that's interesting. As far as defensive rookie of the year, listen, people who were listening to the show before the NFL season, I liked Quinyon Mitchell. I said that this edge class, this interior lineman class hasn't been great, didn't look super great, wasn't a clear path to playing time for a lot of these guys. And Quinyon Mitchell, who was starting at nickel for the Eagles right away, there was a path for him. And now he's second in the odds, 2-1. And Jared Verse is having his moment, getting a bunch of sacks, but the way that this Eagles defense is trending right now, and Vic Fangio has them humming right now, Quinyon Mitchell, I think, another race that I think should be closer than the odds imply. I don't think Jared Verse should be as much of a minus favorite as he is. So I think Quinyon Mitchell there is something to keep an eye on. Want to hit on defensive player of the year really fast as we close the segment. And I promise we'll get into the games. We'll get into everything. Not going to talk about, you know, niche awards and one specific Philadelphia Eagles team for the whole time. But for this segment, I just want to close this with defensive player of the year. I think you could take some shots with defensive player of the year. I know that we're thinking that it's just going to be TJ Watt, and TJ Watt is on this revenge tour because he feels that he was snubbed last year and now he's playing like a madman. And listen, TJ Watt is really, really good, and I get it. He wants the hardware and he's motivated. But look at what we just saw on Thursday Night Football in the snow against Cleveland. He had 4 tackles and no sacks and no tackles for loss. So TJ Watt, you know, the game before that, just 3 tackles and 1 sack. And so I think that TJ Watt, maybe it's minus 125-ish around there. I think that's fine, but I still think this is wide open. I mean, we have a ton of football to play too. So that's my biggest thing with having huge, especially what we were just talking about, huge minus prices, like with offensive rookie of the year. You know, there's a ton of football to play still. So, you know, you get TJ Watt, and then you get the drop off to guys. You know, Chris Jones is the second favorite. He's longer than 10-1. Like, does anyone really think that's right? And I want to talk about one massive bomb that we could talk about for a second, and it's Van Ginkle of the Vikings, and he is a massive price. He's 150-1, Andrew Van Ginkle, but he's got a couple of touchdowns this year. He's got a couple of interceptions. He's near the top in tackles and sacks among, you know, front 7 players. So at a huge price, I think that he's somebody that is worth a look at 150-1. Yeah, his touchdowns and his moments, quote unquote, were in the early season, but for a Vikings defense that's playing well, Brian Flores has got them humming too. Twice I used that in the last 2-3 minutes. Got to switch that up, Jake. Anyway, point being that I think if you want a massive price, Andrew Van Ginkle is definitely worth a look. Trey Hendrickson has been playing very well for the Bengals as well. I'm really interested in Dexter Lawrence because he has been playing very well for the Giants, but also now he's like out here saying that he's bummed that Daniel Jones is gone. He lost his buddy and just kind of weird. I don't know. And maybe, you know, he's really, really good. So maybe the Giants shut him down eventually because they don't want him to get hurt. And maybe they have an eye on next year. Just something to keep in mind. But I think that you can take some shots with defensive player of the year. And maybe that shot is just the second favorite. Maybe you think Chris Jones is just the guy and he's going to keep playing really well. And that you want to just take a shot with him because it's longer than 10-1. I classify that as a shot, especially if you think that TJ Watt maybe is vulnerable after he just had a so-so game against Cleveland. One. But I am Jake Hassan. This is Early Odds. This is 670 The Score. We are going to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk about a couple of divisions and then we'll get into the NFL games because there's some massive spreads. There's a lot of big dogs. I like a couple of them. So we will get into those. So stick around. This is Early Odds. This is 670 The Score. When we come back, going to dive into the games for this NFL week and try to get some winners. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. This is Early Odds. This is 670 The Score. Jake Hassan with you today. As always, as we are week to week, you know, it's me, your host. And we are solo dolo today. We are Hassan solo. Had a bunch of great guests the last couple of weeks, but with a huge, I guess it's always a huge NFL slate. But there are teams on bye. Whatever. That's not the point. ADHD brain. My bad. Anyway, with a interesting, let's put it that way, a fascinating NFL slate, a lot of more than a touchdown spreads, a lot of spreads that have been moving, some quarterback moves and news that we got to get to and we'll talk about. But we are diving into all of that. We will talk about the college slate. We will talk about Indiana and Ohio State, which kicks off in just a little bit. We will talk NBA MVP with some movement there earlier this week. Luka Doncic, obviously the notable candidate that has dropped out with his wrist injury. So we'll talk about all that. First segment, if you missed it, go back. We talked NFL awards, talked NFL futures, talked about how you can attack some of these markets. I think there's angles, especially in MVP and offensive rookie of the year. But before we get into the games really fast, I want to spend a couple of minutes on the divisions. And listen, I know that we have a bunch of huge minus prices, and you look around and it's the Lions minus 470. It's the Eagles minus 550. It's the Chiefs minus 1250, on and on and on. But I think there's a couple interesting ones. And I want to start with the Atlanta Falcons, who are minus 370 to win their division. And Listen, the NFC South is basically a crapshoot, but I think that the Falcons are vulnerable, and they showed you that after they got absolutely smacked by the Denver Broncos. And I'm not saying that the Buccaneers are awesome. I mean, they're on a four-game losing streak right now, but I think that they could catch the Falcons here, and especially just because Baker Mayfield has been playing pretty well. Kirk Cousins has been up and down, and I really like what the Buccaneers have on offense. Mike Evans is back this week as well, so that's another weapon for Baker Mayfield to utilize. Maybe they get off the schneid here and helps that they're playing the Giants, who are now going to Tommy DeVito, baby. So I think that that is something that can help the Bucs going forward. And so you look at a huge price for the Bucs at better than 3-1. Okay, I shouldn't say huge, but a good price. Let's put it that way. I'm correcting myself a lot today, but that's the nature of radio, baby. So the Falcons, you look at their schedule. Obviously, they just lose to the Broncos. They get absolutely shelled in Denver. Now they have the Chargers. They're on bye this week, the Falcons are, but now they have the Chargers coming off their bye next week in Atlanta. And then we'll see how it goes from there, because you have the Vikings in Minnesota, then you have the Raiders, that's probably when, then you have the Giants, but then you have Commanders and Panthers. So yes, the Falcons have a lead, but the Buccaneers can chase them down, only behind by a couple of games, and the Bucs have the Giants this week, then they have the Panthers and the Raiders, then they have the Chargers, and then they have the Cowboys, Panthers, Saints, and that Panthers and Saints game is at home. So whatever you think of the Falcons, and listen, they just stumbled against the Broncos, and they lost to the Saints as well, and they almost lost to the Cowboys. So you think that the Falcons maybe the Falcons might be in for a four-game losing streak here. Coming out of the bye, they might lose the first two games off the bye against the Chargers and the Vikings. And then conversely, we're talking about the Bucs have the Giants and the Panthers. We're sitting here, and things are all knotted up as far as standings-wise. And so I think that you look at this, and there's a path here for the Bucs, because in 2 weeks, these two teams might both be tied atop the standings here. You could have the Bucs at 6-6, and you could have the Falcons at 6-7. So I think that that's something where we could see this flip here, because these teams might be flipped as far as record goes. And I know that the Falcons beat the Bucs already, and so really they beat the Bucs twice. They swept that, so that puts the Bucs behind the eight ball. But in 2 weeks, this price could change. This could be a lot closer to a pick. So with the Bucs at +350, I think that that's something that we should all maybe consider. And then the NFC West as well. The Cardinals are a -115 favorite. And then you look at the 49ers and the Seahawks behind them. I'm not big on the Rams, but I mean, the Cardinals are kind of vulnerable. Like, does anyone think they should be a minus price? I don't like the 49ers. They're way too banged up. Now you got Brock Purdy, who may or may not play. He's on the injury report, and according to the media, he did not look good in practice to end the week either. Christian McCaffrey, who knows how long he's going to hold up as well. Obviously, Ayuk out for the season. So I think that that's something where the NFC West, I think, could kind of be up for grabs here when you look at it, because, yeah, you have the Cardinals at 6-4, but everybody else is right behind them. Everybody else is literally 5-5. So I think that the price maybe is a little wrong here, where you have the 49ers all the way out to better than 3-1. The Seahawks are almost 5-1, and the Seahawks and the Cardinals play this week. Hello? And it's a tight spread. I mean, it's basically a pick 'em. So does anyone think that that's right? Geno Smith just had a game-winning drive last week, game-winning touchdown. So I think we're maybe seeing the Geno Smith like couple-week peak here, rhyme unintended, where he maybe just puts the Seahawks on his back. He's got a real chemistry with Jaxon Smith-Njigba going right now as well. So, and he's finally coming into his own. So I like the Cardinals. I think that they have a really good coach. And then in a division that is full of really good coaches, obviously with Shanahan and McVay there too. But -115 and all these other teams are really long prices. I think not really long. I'm saying that again. But, you know, really good prices, long to medium prices, I guess. And so if I had to pick here, I like the Cardinals. But if you gave me $100 and said make a bet, I'm betting the Seahawks. Let's go. And I think that this is really bunched up here, and I think that the Cardinals could be vulnerable here. You know, the Cardinals play the Seahawks, then they have the Vikings, then they have the Seahawks again. So I think that there is some wiggle room here for the Seahawks to kind of take the reins in this. And I might bet this right now on the break, to be honest with everybody. But it's just, I don't think that the Cardinals should be minus 115 right now. And I think that the Seahawks are a team, and they're only the thing is with the Seahawks, they're 2-4 at home. Does anyone think that that's going to keep up and they're going to have a losing record at home? I think the Seahawks, we might be about to see some stuff with the Seahawks, especially if they win these two games against the Cardinals. The Seahawks have the Jets sandwiched between those Cardinals games, by the way. And then they have, I guess it depends on what you think of the Packers and the Vikings, but then they have Packers, Vikings, Bears, and they close against the Rams on the road in LA, which will basically be a Seahawks home game because, not a lot of people go to those Rams games. And it's close-ish, right? LA to Seattle. That flight's probably not too bad, right? We're not here to talk about flights, though. So that's my thought there for the NFC West. I think the Seahawks could be a valuable bet going forward, especially if you like them this week against the Cardinals. It starts, tomorrow, essentially, basically a pick 'em one and a half spread to the Cardinals' favor. But I don't know, that game I don't really have a good feel for. I could see it being better for Seattle. They're at home. I guess I give them a little bit of an edge there. But I think going forward, my point being that they have a value here at 5-1. If you like the Seahawks, I know I'm repeating myself and I apologize for that, but I think if you think Seattle wins this week and then again in the rematch, I think that you got to like the Seahawks for the NFC West at 5-1 at a big price. It's just, how do you not there? I mean, the math all kind of checks out there, and I get it that the Seahawks are dealing with some injuries, but Geno Smith, we might just see hero ball from him going forward. So we'll see how this shakes out. Could be talking about this again, but let's get into the games. I have droned on and on for 26 minutes about awards and about divisions. And you're like, all right, just get to the games, Bozo. Let's talk about this. Can you give us some looks for the games themselves? And yes, I can. I would actually be thrilled to do so. And I want to start with a team that I've been ragging on all year long and probably seemingly with no reason at all. But I still think that the Houston Texans are really not that great. I get it. They're at the top of their division. They're 7-5, but I just don't see it with this team. Like, CJ Stroud is not having a great year. He's been fine, but has anyone watched these games and thought, yeah, CJ Stroud looks awesome, really inspiring confidence? I don't, and I get it. They just smoked the Cowboys on national television, but I don't see it. I don't see it. And I think with more than a touchdown with the Tennessee Titans, who Will Levis has been playing way better. He looks like maybe he is going to be a quarterback that the Titans can rely on going forward. It looks like he's starting to kind of come to grips with being normal, I guess, a little bit. But, he's always going to make mistakes, Will Levis is. And that's evidenced by the interceptions. But only 3 interceptions in the last 4 games. He has 4 touchdowns in that span as well. And it started to look a little better. You're starting to see it a little bit more with Will Levis. I mean, threw for almost 300 yards against a Vikings team that we look at that defense and say, wow, that's a really good Vikings defense. Brian Flores is doing a really good job over there. And Will Levis put up almost 300 yards on him. So I think that Will Levis is starting to maybe evolve a little bit, not saying that he's awesome or that he's, the future of the NFL, but better, decent. And I think against a Texans team that I have been against all year long, I think they are dying to lose these games. I think you're getting more than a touchdown here. And a Tennessee defense that's been really, really solid and has been playing really well, that defensive line is no joke. And that Houston offensive line isn't good. And they are allowing CJ Stroud to take a lot of sacks. They're allowing him to be under pressure a lot. He's moving around the pocket. He's kind of, you know, hopping around back there. I think that this Tennessee team could put some pressure on CJ Stroud and force him into a couple of mistakes in this game. And so I'm going to take the points with the Titans, and we're on the move here. This is at 8.5 now. I think a lot of people are still just betting the Texans off that Monday night throttling of Dallas. But does anyone think that Dallas is a really good team? No, they're terrible. So I think that the Titans could keep this game close. I will be taking the points with them, and I'll be interested in a CJ Stroud interception as well when we come down to it. So that is my look for that game. Elsewhere in the NFL, a couple of other big spreads that are out there. And I want to go back to a team that, or I guess I was talking about individuals, but I want to go back to Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos, because they're laying 6.5, and it looks like we're going to stay there probably. There's some push on the Raiders, so might get just to a flat 6. Either way, you're inside of a touchdown. I like laying it with the Broncos. I know people are a little bit averse to laying a bigger number in an interdivisional game, and it's in Vegas, but this Vegas team, like, they don't even know who they want to play at quarterback. Antonio Pierce is flip-flopping all around. They're missing their top two running backs. They're going to be starting a rookie at running back who hasn't played, who's been a healthy and active for the last couple of weeks. But I think the Broncos, this is going to continue here. Feeling good after that spot against the Falcons at home last week. And I'm going to lay it with the Broncos. I think this Bo Nix ascension is going to continue. I think Sean Payton has his team playing really well. I think that is super a super good spot for the Broncos. So inside of a touchdown, the 6 doesn't scare me. I think that the Broncos can take care of business against this Raiders team that is very, very much in flux. Want to go to Sunday night for a second as well, because I'm jumping around. You know, let's just go to the top of the board, and then we'll move from there. How about that? We'll do that, but started with the Broncos and the Titans there in that game. Going to hit a break when we come back in a couple of minutes. This is 670 The Score. This is Early Odds. Jake Hassan. When we come back, going to go through the rest of the game, start to finish. We will start with the Vikings at the Bears here in Chicago. We will talk about that game. If I expect the Bears to continue to show some life under their new offensive coordinator, Thomas Brown, and if we could continue to see some steps against a tough defense, a Brian Flores-led Minnesota defense, interdivisional game, going to be really interesting. So going to hit a quick break. When we come back on Early Odds on 670 The Score, going to go through the rest of the NFL games, and to close, of course, we'll talk Indiana and Ohio State and a thought on NBA MVP as well. So stick around, quick break. When we come back, continue rolling through the NFL slate to close. All right, welcome back in. Final segment of Early Odds. Jake Hassan here with you as always. I personally think it's been a great show. No guests, just your boy, Solo Dolo, Hassan Solo today. Talked a ton of NFL. First segment, hit the awards, hit the futures. Second segment, hit a little more futures, hit some divisions, but also gave you breakdowns of Titans, Texans, and Broncos, Raiders. And to close the segment here on this fine Saturday with you here on 670 The Score, Early Odds, by the way. Here to close, we are going to run through the rest of the NFL games, run through the rest of the slate, give you some thoughts, give you some insight, maybe in case you want to make a bet here or there. And I have a couple of bets. I gave you Broncos and Titans just a couple of minutes ago. And if you missed that and you came in during parachuted in during the break, hello, happy to have you. This is 670 Score, Early Odds, Jake Hassan. I like the Broncos. I'm laying it inside of a touchdown. Doesn't scare me. I think the Raiders are trash, and I'm going to keep going down with the ship, trying to fade the Texans. I think that the Titans have been playing better. I think the Texans are dying to lose one of these games, so I will take the points with Will Levis and the Titans in that one. But starting at the top of the board here, Vikings at Bears here in Chicago. Bears, just another soul-crushing loss for the Bears to the Packers. Yippee. But They did look better. Thomas Brown, I think, has some better concepts, knows Caleb Williams' game a little bit better, a lot a bit better than Shane Waldron did. Bears seemingly showed that they are at least competent offense and can at least hang with a team. And you talk about Sam Darnold on the road, man. Like, you talk about Sam Darnold, who has looked worse. He's starting to look back like Sam Darnold of the past that we know and love, who you can force to make mistakes. And listen, I'm not advocating for take the Bears blind 3.5, but getting more than a field goal in a close division game, Sam Darnold on the road here, you know, Caleb Williams against Brian Flores, though, does scare me a little bit. This total is 39.5, and people are still betting the under here. I do think that that's a decent look. I think this could be a slow rock fight kind of game. Two good defenses. I like that look. I like the under in this game. I think if you're getting more than a field goal, I think the Bears are a decent look, too. I'm way more scared of Sam Darnold, who has looked worse the last couple of weeks on the road against Caleb Williams and the Bears. Honestly, maybe sprinkle a little bit on each defense anytime touchdown at, you know, big prices, because I think both these defenses can force these quarterbacks into making mistakes here. Bucks and Giants in New York. Giants going through all of their changes. Daniel Jones no longer the quarterback. Giants going with Tommy DeVito, you know, Illinois legend, shout out. But 5.5, the Giants are catching that. The Bucks are laying it. You get Mike Evans back in this game. People are betting the Bucks still, I think, based on the news on that. Baker Mayfield gets his guy back, and that's probably the right side. If we get to 6, 6.5, I'll be interested in the Giants a little bit. Listen, we saw Tommy DeVito win some games last year, and sorry to Drew Lock, but clearly, and clearly, maybe the Giants are just trying to lose games and tank and get their draft stock a little bit higher and get closer to that top pick, maybe get inside the top five, top three. But Tommy DeVito showed that he's at least a guy that can win NFL games. Not saying that the Giants have to win this game, but I think if it's going to keep moving this way in the Bucks' favor, at a certain point, I'm going to be on the Giants. I'm not doing anything in this game right now. 41.5 is the total. Nothing for me there either. But if we get to 6.5, I'll have some interest in the Giants, I think. I think that maybe just is too many points. Patriots catching a touchdown in Miami against the Dolphins. I think that that's just right. But a high total, 46.5. Listen, I kind of like that. Listen, you have Jerod Mayo, right? Yeah. You have Jerod Mayo up there at the podium when reporters are asking him, hey, you played the Rams. They have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. You never double coveraged either of them. Why? And he goes, well, you know, worry about your own job. Hello? Pretty good question. Oh, and by the way, now here's Tyreek Hill. Okay. Here's Tua now back. Okay, and listen, I like Drake May. I think he's a decent weapon. I think he's a decent quarterback. I think he's good, dare I say. So even though it's a high total, 46.5, this could be a shootout. We know Miami can put up 30, 35 on their own. So it's basically, do you think the Patriots can score 10 points? I think so. This Miami defense doesn't scare me that much. So I like the over. 46.5, I think, is a look there for me. Panthers, Chiefs. Chiefs are laying 10.5. Is there anything that we need to really say about that game? The Panthers are still the Panthers. Chiefs are still the Chiefs. Now you get the Chiefs in a revenge spot off the loss to Buffalo, too. Good luck, Carolina. You have fun with that. Cowboys and Commanders, another giant spread in this one. Commanders laying 10.5 at home against the Cowboys, against Cooper Rush. And now CeeDee Lamb pops up on the injury report as well. Listen, if CD is not going to play in this game, I have no interest in the Cowboys. I think maybe are we disrespecting the Cowboys a little bit too much? Is 10.5 probably a little bit too much? Yeah, probably, and that's why people are betting it. But if CD Lamb is not going to play in this game, no interest in the Cowboys whatsoever. Not saying that the Commanders lay it with them. That has to be the bet. But if CD Lamb is ruled into this game, I'll have some interest in the Cowboys. Listen, I know Cooper Rush has looked bad and he looked atrocious the last couple of weeks. Another guy who has proven that in certain spots, he can get up off the mat and win you some football games and actually play pretty decently. He had a stretch last year where he actually played pretty well and won some games. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait to see what the injury report officially looks like. I'm going to wait for the inactives and actives, but If CeeDee Lamb's in this game, I'll have a little bit of interest in the Cowboys if it's still at 10.5 or even higher. I mean, we'll see. Maybe Washington takes some more money today and overnight, and we'll see how that goes. Lions and Colts, 50.5 is your total with this one. And I get it. The Lions are a wagon. The Lions could maybe get over 50 on their own. And Anthony Richardson, it's the peaks and valleys. You know, he has these wow plays, and he played really, really well last week against the Jets, but he also makes mistakes. And this Lions defense, and not that they're, you know, the 85 Bears, but they can make a couple of plays here. And Anthony Richardson's a guy that kind of just throws these moon balls sometimes. So I think that the total is enormous. The Colts could easily lay a goose egg, though. So 50 is a lot for me. I think if you can get the Lions inside, like, people are betting the Colts here at 7.5. So if we can get to 6.5, I'll like the Lions a lot. Because listen, we just did this whole song and dance with the Lions in the last couple of games. Oh, well, here's the spot. Here comes the letdown spot for the Lions where they're going to slip up and they're going to stumble. And then what happened in those games? They just absolutely steamroll. Lions, 52. Jaguars, 6. What happened? You know, we did it a couple weeks ago. You know, when was that? Against, who am I thinking of? Against the Packers in the divisional game at Lambeau. What we were doing it. We were trying to make cases for the Packers. And, oh, here we go. Lions just win by 10. So, listen, I think this group is just an absolute behemoth. And coming off that 52-point performance, I know people are saying, oh, well, letdown spot. Really? Against Anthony Richardson? I don't think that's going to go as well for you as you think. Packers laying 2.5 against the 49ers in Green Bay. And yeah, I get it. Listen, it's Brock Purdy on the injury report. Don't know what that's going to be. Christian McCaffrey missed the first, you know, lot of weeks of the season with that Achilles. Don't know if you heard about that. I'm sure some of us, I mean, I never drafted him in any of my fantasy leagues, so I was fine. But some of you out there probably took him with the number one overall pick and then got blindsided by that. George Kittle's been on the injury report for like the last 5 weeks. He's saying he's going to play, and he's pushing through these multiple injuries. But Packers inside of a field goal with quarterback maybe lingering issue for the 49ers. And even if Brock Purdy does suit up, he's got to push through a shoulder injury. That I don't like that. Jordan Love has been a little volatile, but he has that upside where he just nukes you. So I like the Packers. I know, I'm sorry, but I like money more than I like my fandom. So I will lay it with the Packers in that spot inside of a field goal against a banged up 49ers team. Cardinals Seahawks. Listen, I talked about it in the second segment that this division is very much up for grabs. These teams play each other 2 times in the next 3 weeks, and they're going to be very familiar with each other. It's basically a pick. I'm just going to take my Seahawks division ticket at 5-1. And I guess I'm rooting for the Seahawks, but that's basically just going to be a Seahawks money line ticket. So bet your opinion. Listen, Kyler Murray is interesting. He's been awesome. He's been good. Jonathan Gannon, I think, is a really good head coach. I think it's just bet your opinion in this one. I think there's real shootout potential, 47.5. I think the over would be a play there for me. If you gave me $100 and said make a bet, I think I would play the over in this game with two offenses that obviously are very high-flying potential. Bird pun unintended with Cardinals and Seahawks, but you know what I mean. So especially Geno Smith, the way that he's been playing, clicking with Jackson Smith and Jigbo lately, I think I just talked myself into the over there, but not going to bet this game because I basically have a Seahawks money line ticket with this NFC West division. But if you want to make a bet in this game, I think the over is the way to go. Eagles inside of a field goal at Los Angeles on Sunday night. Does anyone think that that the Eagles fans aren't going to travel for this game? Chance to get out of Philadelphia in late November, go to LA, enjoy the sun. Sounds pretty nice, right? And those fans are insane, and they would probably do it even if it was a bad weather state on Sunday Night Football. So I like the Eagles here. The Eagles are playing really good. That defense is absolutely humming. Vic Fangio is humming for defense again. I gotta stop doing that. It's third time. bad. Anyway, I like the Eagles here. I think that this is a potential smash spot for the Eagles. I think they can win this game by double digits easily. I know people are trying to make the case for the Rams that they're alive and maybe for the division and the playoffs. I'm good. I think this Eagles team is really starting to come into their own after, you know, they hit a couple stumbling blocks. Is that a thing? I don't know. But after they had a couple stumbles early in the season and Phillies fans, Phillies again. Anyway, Philadelphia fans were ready for Nick Sirianni to lose his job. And we were making memes that, hey, get the kids up at the podium so he doesn't have to take as hard of questions or be as critical. Listen, the Eagles have rebounded in a big way. They look really good. I think this is a smash spot for them. And then Monday night, the Harbaugh Bowl. Harbaugh Bowl. Listen, you get the Chargers getting three, Ravens laying three. It looks like there's money coming on the Chargers, so you might see this get inside of a field goal. If I had to, I would take the Chargers. If I had to make a bet, I would take the Chargers, honestly, and I would bet it right now at three before it moves inside the field goal, because I think that this is going to be a close game. I think that this is a game that Jim Harbaugh is dying to win, and I think that this is basically going to be their Super Bowl, and the Ravens kind of stumbling a little bit. You know, they've looked vulnerable here. So if I had to, Chargers for me. Really quick to wrap things up, NBA MVP, the beauty of doing the show on a Saturday once a week, Giannis's price is on the move and it's coming down, down, down. If you have nothing in this market, I think now is a decent time to grab Giannis. The Bucks are starting to rebound. They're starting to play a lot better. And, you know, now Luka, he's a candidate that has fallen out of the race. He's going to be out for a few weeks with this wrist injury. Maybe Jokic just wins again because he's the best player on the planet. But I think that if you're looking for a price that's wrong, Giannis is still longer than 10-1 out there. Listen, we're on Saturdays only, so, you know, we missed the 40s and the 30s that were there early in the week. But I still think that that's value at longer than 10-1 for Giannis. And I think Anthony Edwards, too, could get back into this race if he flips the switch. We're still really early into the NBA season. So for Jokic and SGA to be inside a 3-1, I think that maybe there's some oxygen that could be taken up, some win probability that could be taken up. And Giannis, his price is coming way down, and I think that's going to continue to be the case as the Bucks continue to play pretty well as well. And let's talk to close Indiana and Ohio State. Huge move towards Indiana. This was 13.5, pushing 14 at points earlier in the week. Now we're down to 10. And I think that a lot of people are looking at Ohio State's injuries. They're missing their left tackle and their center. It's two big pieces on the offensive line that they are going to be missing. But I still like Indiana. I still, if we're going to sit here maybe at double digits, especially, I like Indiana. You're giving me the better coach with the Hoosiers. They've been hyping themselves up for this game. They're looking at this game like, all right, we're about to show everyone exactly who we are. And Ohio State, I know it's at Columbus. I know that's a really tough place to play. But getting that many points with Indiana, who has continued time and time and time again this season to perform and show up and show out and show people that they are real, I think double digits for Indiana on the spread, I like it. I like the spot here for them. Will Howard, you can force him to make mistakes. Ryan Day is not somebody I want to go to war with in these spots. I know he has played well and he came through against Oregon, or not against Oregon. Oregon won that game, against Penn State rather. And I think that this is a spot where maybe he folds. So I know I'm getting the better coach, possibly even the better quarterback. I'll take Indiana here. So can't wait to watch that one. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm taking the points with the Hoosiers. Shout out to all of my Indiana fans and my boys who are Indiana alums. So all of that being said, this has been Early Odds. This has been Jay Kasan on 670 The Score. Appreciate everybody listening and tuning in. I've been solo dolo today, an hour straight of yours truly. Sorry that happened, or happy for you. I'm happy for me. You know, my name's on the show, so get to make decisions like that. And it's a lot of fun. But covered a ton. Did all football basically today. A little bit of NBA, but mostly NFL. Hit you with Indiana and Ohio State to close here. But as always, missed anything, go to the pod. And we'll be back next week on Thanksgiving week. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody. The next time that we talk, be post-Thanksgiving, and we'll all be in the middle of our Thanksgiving weekend. But for myself, for the boys in the back, this is 670 The Score. This is Early Odds. I have been Jay Kasan. Boys, play the music.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.